Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So as we fast approach the end of this current decade, we're going to talk about the best golf clubs that have come out between 2010 and 2019. We're going to cover every club in the bag, our opinions, mine and Guy's, and we're going to battle it out to see if we can create the best what's in the bag of the last decade. We're also going to talk about a new Facebook group we've set up, which has got unbelievable response. And if you are part of the group, you're going to know what we're talking about. And thank you so much for getting involved in it. We're going to talk about the videos we released this week and what's also coming up. And then we've got a lot more lined up. I'm excited for another podcast episode. If you are new around here, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and also leave us a review. It's myself, Rick Shields, and Guy, producer Guy, and we're going to be talking about the best golf clubs in the last decade.
I am super excited for this episode. We had this idea, I think, the back end of last week, to build up the ultimate set of golf clubs from the last 10 years. I don't know what you've chosen, and you certainly don't know what I've chosen. We're going to argue our case for each. Some might end up being the same, which would be interesting. And then we're going to pick a winner for each part of the bag, starting at golf ball right the way through to driver.
This is going to be good. Are we kicking this off straight away now?
Well, is it? Yeah, why not? Okay. I'm nervous.
This feels like we're a minute and a half into the podcast and we're going to straight into the clubs of the decade.
Let's start with ball.
Okay. So let's, just so we're clear, what is there any criteria, any rules? What does it require to do to qualify to be in this? What's in the?
This
bag
is the
of
beauty of the
decade.
Podcast. We make our own rules. Okay. I think obviously it has to be anything that's been brought out from 2010 onwards. Obviously, so it's in this decade. And I think in terms of rules, it's something that either has changed the game or has been kind of monumental in the decade, whether it's been a club that has won certain tournaments or has helped golfers in a certain way. It's how you perceive the best. That's what's quite interesting here. We can discuss it. We can debate it. I'm adamant. I'm very, very sure we're going to have a different choice on the golf ball. I think I know what you're going to say, and you're not going to guess what I'm going to say, but I've got a reason behind it.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. Okay. Should I kick it off then?
Let's go.
Golf ball. In the last decade, I think there's been one golf ball that's been out in the last decade, or certainly two, that have really continued to push what is possible with a golf ball. The problem is with that golf ball that I'm going to talk about is that it's actually been out for nearly two decades. And there's a newer version every 2 years, typically, but it's not the ball I'm going to pick for this particular topic.
Ooh.
The ball I was thinking of, because most of people would probably think this, was the Pro V1. So the Pro V1, the Titleist Pro V1, and Pro V1X. That, for me, has probably been the most stable, consistent golf ball of the last decade and the decade before. But it's not the ball I'm going to put forward for the ball of the decade.
Wow.
Shocker. The ball I'm going to put forward of the ball of the decade is one that I believe, truly believe, actually got closest to competing and, in my opinion, on some points, actually bettered the Pro V1 this year. And it comes from a manufacturer that isn't known for their ball prowess. They've not done great with golf balls in the past. But this particular golf ball that came out, I believe, about 3 years ago, had the best chance to be in the best ball they've ever made and continues to do so. I think you're probably going to know what I'm going to say now.
I do.
I think the best ball that's come out in the last decade that have actually really tried to change and challenge perception is the TaylorMade TP5. For me, that golf ball had so many, well, it still does, has so many incredible characteristics, has so much performance benefit. I actually think it's one of the best golf balls in the wind. For whatever reason, the aerodynamics of that golf ball just seems to be far better than a lot of the other golf balls I've tested over the last 10 years, pretty much. And also, for me, personally standpoint, it's the only golf ball I've ever got a hole in one with. So that's kind of why it's up there. As for me, the golf ball of the decade, I believe truly it's pushed the boundaries to be a serious competitor to what would maybe be known as the standard ball of the decade, which would be the Pro V1.
It's hard to argue with that. It is a great golf ball, but I'm going for a different one. Now, I'm kind of already breaking the rules because this golf ball was released before 2010.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. But there's been iterations of it released continuously in the last decade. And the fifth generation was released in 2011. So let's say I'm going to go with the fifth generation. Do you know what I'm going to pick?
The fifth generation.
That won't mean much to you, to be
fair.
Was
released in 2011.
Yeah. So it's been out for a while. I think it was 03 it first hit the UK marketplace.
But yeah, it's still been made now.
Still out now.
When was the latest edition of it come out?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it would have probably been this 17? Year or last year. Probably. Right, okay. It's recent. You're not going to guess. So just put you out of your misery.
Chromesoft.
No. I was going to pick. Now, funny you say that. I was going to choose Chromesoft. I was thinking Chromesoft because it's a premium ball at a cheaper price point. It's soft. Helps the golfer compress it. You see good distances from it from slower swing speeds. But no, I have gone with the Srixon AD333.
Wow.
Have you been underwhelmed, surprised, shocked?
Now you've said it, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have picked that for,
no.
for only, be, you know, just to put into some context, the reason why I probably wouldn't have picked it for you is because it's a ball that you don't use
yeah.
and haven't used. Guy, if you know, is a 3-4 handicapper
yeah,
now.
Four.
And I just didn't think that's where he was going to go. But as a bigger picture,
yeah.
there's probably no... I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the AD333 is the best-selling golf ball here in the UK.
I think it is. It's £19.99 a dozen, which is half the price of a Pro V1. Whenever I've found one before on the golf course and had a little play, they're really solid golf balls. They're durable. They go a long way. They're soft. And it's easy for us as better players, if you like, to obviously gravitate towards the Pro V1, the TP5, which are, you know, arguably the best golf balls. But so many golfers are, you know, 15 handicappers, 18 handicappers, or irrespective of handicap, don't want to spend £40 or $50 on golf balls that they're going to ultimately lose or destroy. 333 at half that price is nowhere near half the performance.
You know,
it's up there.
Good shout, Guy. Good shout. Wow. You know, it would have, I reckon he could have given me 10 guesses. I don't think I would have picked the AD333 for you. But now that you've said it, it makes perfect sense.
Are we going to pick that as the ball?
You know what? And I didn't think I would be doing. I thought it'd be either Pro V1 or TP5. But the ball we're going to put in, the what's in the bag for the last decade, is the Srixon AD333. I feel like we need some, like, awards being made for this. I think a lot of people listening will probably have used AD333s or still use them and like using them. So, yeah, I think that's a great shout. I really do.
And something that we touched on in the last podcast that Srixon have done so well is they've kept that name of the golf ball since 2003. They've kept that kind of, I think it's an iconic blue box. You know, if you go and you see a kind of sky blue box, what it is. And I wonder if there's actually a lot of golfers who weirdly almost don't know the name of it, but they just know it's the blue box from Srixon. A lot of people call it the AD33, which is actually AD333 or 333. But it's a good golf ball. It's a solid golf ball. It's at a good price point. And fair play to Srixon for keeping pushing it.
Am I mistaken in saying that they even made like an AD333 tour?
They did. And it had a more, it was blue, I think, still, but there was a like black on the box. I don't know any figures on that. I don't feel like it was as good. When I used to work in golf retail, there was, I think, 4 or 5 Srixon balls, and it was really good. They had a red box. You remember the distance?
Green box for
soft feel. Blue was obviously 333, and then there was the Z Star and Z Star XV, was it, or X? I can't remember what that one was called. But again, we talk this a lot, but easy for the consumer to navigate, which I think a lot of brands overlook when it comes to golf balls. But it's a habit purchase. You find a ball on the course that you quite like, you go to the shop and you pick it up, you buy one, and you just keep buying that ball forever potentially. So Shrixon have nailed it with that. I think it's a really good ball.
Yeah, I do. I'd agree. Okay. And also, I think they make it in yellow as well.
Yes.
Oh, it ticks all the boxes. Right. I'm going to pass it over to you then this time.
A putter.
Are you going putter?
Yeah, let's go putter, wedges, irons, and then leave the big stuff till the end.
Go on then, putter.
So I've gone with a putter from one of the big brands. I'm going to just say it how it is. I've gone with Odyssey. And the putter I've gone with is the White Hot XG 2.0. Might not mean a lot to you, but the number 7 shape.
The number 7 shape.
The number 7. It's a shape that has been, I don't want to say necessarily revolutionary, but it was quite simple, but yet quite different. Obviously, the kind of fangs on the end, on the toe and the heel of the putter, it was ultra stable. It's won loads of tournaments. I think, was it Luke Donald used it for a while? Has Poulter dabbled with it?
Yeah, definitely Luke Donald, definitely Poulter. I'm trying to think of other really, top names that have used it, but if you're unfamiliar, it's almost like if you're looking down on it, as Guy said, there's almost a fang coming off the toe going backwards and a fang coming off the heel. Great for scooping up your golf ball, yeah. To be fair, as well. And then it has kind of a big elongated semicircle around those two fangs. It's very good for alignment, very good for keeping your putter straight going back, and a super, super popular putter.
There's been loads of different designs of it as well. I think the White Hot XG 2.0, which is a bit of a mouthful, is the one that launched in 2010. So for the sake of the last decade, that's the one I'm going to call out. I think I had one which was the White Ice model, I think it was. It was a bit of a bigger head, really soft insert. Absolutely loved it. And to be honest with you, I only got rid of it when I started working for Nike. And obviously, I kind of wanted to use all Nike clubs. But that was a class putter. And they still make those models to this day. I think we've actually got one in the office now. We've got a Stroke Lab Toulon version.
Well, now it's called that particular one's called Las Vegas version, but it is the number 7.
It's the same
7,
shape, isn't
much.
It? Yeah, that's the putter I'm going with. Simple to the point.
Okay. I think that's a decent entry. I'm going to go for a putter again for one of the big brands. And it's just recently celebrated its 10-year anniversary. Now, this putter has won major tournaments. It has been in the bag of multiple number one players in the last decade. It has changed shape recently to slightly more streamlined version. And another brand has also copied the design because the actual original designer has recently, Sean Toulon, who we've just been talking about, Toulon, actually moved to Odyssey. But the putter that I believe has been the best putter in the last decade, one that has won multiple times on tour, one that suits not only professional golfers, but also high handicapped golfers, because they will gain the ability to be more consistent with a putter, is the TaylorMade Spider putter. It's gone through many different iterations. We're actually now to the Spider X, which is celebrating the 10-year anniversary. But for me, I honestly believe the Spider putter, for certainly tour golf usage, it's made a mallet putter unbelievably popular.
I can't disagree. And if I'm being honest with you, I was going to pick it myself, but I knew you would pick it, so I thought I'd go with something different. I've currently got one in the bag. I've got one of your ones in the bag. I've got the Spider 10. Is it Spider X, isn't it? It's called. I always call it 10, but the Spider X, the copper one, it's class. It's easy to line up, but I think the biggest thing is how stable it feels in your hands. And like you said, it's been around for 10 years now, loads of different variations of it. It's built a good franchise. It's won on tour. It's been in the bags of, Rory's had it for a while. I know he's dabbled in and out of it. Obviously,
Justin Johnson.
I always think of Jason Day. Spider, to me, I just think of Jason Day.
Well, he was the reason why they made a red Spider.
Yeah. Is it that? What was it? What major was it when he won? When his wife and his kids at the side, his little
boy.
There's
only one major. US Open.
Was that in 20?
Or was it the PGA?
I can't remember. I feel like I remember having a red putter there, and that's what I kind of think about with the Spider. But yeah, it's been a class putter. Obviously, other brands now started to copy the shape of it, and I think we'll look back in 10, 20 years' time, and the Spider will just be a really iconic shape. So I'm going to give you that.
I feel like Spider is the new two ball.
Yes,
the two ball. If this was a what's in the bag of the previous decade from 2000 to 2010, it would have 100% been the two ball. 100%. And now I feel like in this last decade, the Spider has dominated, and we're happy to put that in the bag. Yeah. Are we going for a certain type of colour?
I'd have to just go black with a white line.
Okay, let's go black with a white line. I think original putter, the original Spider, not so much the X. I still feel like the original just has a little bit more about it.
Yeah, just a quick one. We've obviously seen a few of the products coming in 2020, which we can't talk about yet, but obviously they'll be on the YouTube channel very, very soon. Full review, so make sure you're subscribed. But we've talked about naming the products and how we're not a massive fan of some of the new names that are coming. I can't remember Spider coming out massively, but it's a weird name. It works now. But what did you think when you first heard Spider? Can you remember?
I feel like I always remember Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Yes.
More than I remember one. Spider.
Yeah.
Like, Spider just seemed to come out. And then when, like, Itsy Bitsy Spider came out and Long Legs.
Yeah, Daddy Long Legs.
The Daddy Long Legs was one with the counterbalance grip on it as well. I think it was very clever. You know, I can't remember, truth be told, when it actually came out and was called the Spider straight from the off.
No, I don't.
I only seem to remember, like, Itsy Bitsy, Daddy Long Legs, trying to think of other ones that have come out. But, yeah, I don't remember. I must admit, though, just talking about putters that you've just said are coming out next year, there's one particular putter from one of the brands we've just mentioned that is almost combining Spider and other bits to bring out a putter that I honestly think has a chance of really changing the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, so Odyssey. TaylorMade Spider is in the bag. Now, wedges.
You're not going to like my choice, I don't think.
I'll be honest, I've really struggled with wedges. Yeah. I've really, really struggled.
It's a tough one.
I was looking last night, I was thinking, right, come on, Rick, what wedges have really changed the game in the last decade? And I don't know. No, I don't honestly feel like many have, but I also don't feel like they had to change that much.
TaylorMade tried with the, what, do you remember the ones that had the interchangeable faces?
Yeah, I can't screw remember those called.
Yeah, no, they tried something new, but ultimately with wedges, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it. I'm going to tell you what I've gone with now. I'm not confident we're going to put it in the bag, but the what I currently use, and I'm going to say the Nike Engage wedges. Now, bear with me. I know straight away you're probably thinking, that's a rubbish shout, but the Nike Engage wedges, I've still got in the bag 5 years after they first came out. Now, I probably should replace them. The grooves are getting a bit worn out. The head shape is class. Really square leading edge, which I love. Really kind of simplistic design. But what was really unique with the Engage, there was three grinds. There was a square sole, which was available in like every loft. There was a dual sole, which was available in like your 58 and 60. And then there was, another grind that was more like really good out of bunkers. But what was unique with them is they came with a wax coating on them. When you saw them in the retail store, they had a wax coating. As soon as you peeled off that wax coating, they would start to rust and oxidize. And regardless of whether that actually makes any more difference or not, but it was a cool feature. They were class wedges. Obviously, Nike don't make clubs anymore, so those wedges are obsolete. You don't really see them about. But they were different. They felt great. They had some different kind of technology, as I said, with the wax coating and the rusting. It's a shame that obviously Nike aren't making them anymore, Nike don't make clubs anymore, but for me, it says something that are still in the bag 5 years later when, you know, you obviously let me use clubs and stuff of yours. I could have any wedges in the bag pretty much that I want, and I'm still using them. I know it's not the strongest argument, but no, I really like them.
At least it is a case to them. You know what? I was just thinking, as you were just talking there, I didn't have a wedge idea in my head. Mm. I had a couple that I thought, yeah, maybe. You know, one that I've missed? And I honestly think it's possibly changed the game for wedge design. And it's not the first ever to do this, but it's certainly the one that's brought it back.
Yeah,
I think Callaway PM Grind. Yep. So if you remember the PM Grind, it's the one where it's got the ridiculously big high toe on it, which now obviously leads into TaylorMade calling their version of that the high toe.
Yep.
This is quite a lot of Callaway and TaylorMade copying off each other at the moment, isn't it really? But the PM Grind, Phil Mickelson Grind, the grooves went all the way to the edges. It's a bit of an ugly golf club, but actually versatility-wise, it's sensational.
Yeah.
When you open that face up and literally you've got grooves upon grooves that are just looking up at you from the golf ball, it is very, very confidence boosting. And you stand there and think, I could easily flick this wedge, get this ball going up through my left nostril because there's so much loft on it. Hmm. So if I was to potentially look at a wedge that has, let's say, changed the game in the last decade, I would honestly say that's it. Now, to counter that argument slightly, there's this discussion that they never originally first ever made this wedge, and it was actually the Ping I2. I slightly disagree with that argument, because even though the Ping I2, yes, made a high toe wedge, they never made the grooves go all the way to the edges.
I think you're right. I think, obviously, since then, it's a TaylorMade have brought one out. Ping have since re-brought one out. Is it still called the I2? Is it?
Yeah, they brought a new one out, the new version. Which apparently is mega, mega spinning.
And I think, obviously, there's been some amazing Vokies in the last 10 years, some amazing Clevelands, etc. What we're trying to do with this is think of golf clubs that have been quite revolutionary, and I don't think it's fair to say that in the last 10 years a Vokey's come out that's been revolutionary.
No, they've always been very solid.
Yeah, they're just
a bit like the Pro V1 argument.
Exactly.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
And in many, you know, sets, perfect sets in the last decade, they'd feature.
Yeah.
But we're looking at also brands that have pushed the boundary a little
bit.
We're
looking at products in the last 10 years that you look back another 10, 20 years and think that changed the game. So I think you're right with the wedge. There's not been a great deal that's come out. I do like that wedge. It's not something that I would use personally, but I think it's a great choice for people to use. So let's go with that.
I think that's the I honestly really struggle with the wedge department, but that the other ones I had was the actual just standard MD range, the Matt Daddy range. But again, it's just because it's a nice wedge.
Yeah.
And it's forged. And I personally prefer forged wedges. Irons.
We're getting to the fun stuff now. Are you going to do a quick... before we get into the irons, I think it's worth you shouting out our sponsor for the show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got some news for you. We've actually got a new sponsor for the Rick Shields Golf Podcast. This particular franchise of sponsors have really been a huge advocate of the podcast, and they've managed to fund it so far, which we really appreciate. Thanks so much. Big shout out to Rick Shields' Facebook page. But there's actually a new sponsor. It's a group that's been built from the Rick Shields Facebook page, and it's actually called the Rick Shields Golf Podcast Facebook Group. We set up this weekend just been, and already we have got over 3,000 members in the group. To find it, you either search Rick Shields Golf Podcast on Facebook and you can find the group. You've got to apply to be a member. There is strict regulations to be a member. If guy doesn't like your face, you're not coming in, basically. but yeah, you get added. And honestly, we thought we'd do it as a bit of an experiment. We've absolutely loved the interaction on the group so far.
It's been class. I ruffled a few feathers yesterday on there with
Guy likes to start some fights on there.
No. All for good fun. It was a change my mind topic, and I put shaft flex isn't that important and hardly makes any difference. Change my mind. And you know what? It was great to see some interaction, regardless of what you think about shaft flex. But also, what's been great to see is there's been a lot of discussion around the podcast, obviously. That's what the group's about. But there's been so many people getting involved, asking for advice with each other, asking where people play at, what clubs they've got, just general golf chat. And so far, it's been a really nice atmosphere. It's been class. So everybody, make sure you join. We'll accept everybody, interact, engage, and let's build this community that we are doing, and listen to the podcast and chat on there, and maybe meet some friends that you want to play golf with, etc. But it's class so far.
Yeah, I'm just flicking through it on my phone now, and honestly, the amount of interaction that's taking place is incredible. People sharing pictures of their golf clubs that they're proud of, people sharing funny clips, people also talking about, hey, I'm based in LA, I'm going playing golf this Saturday, who wants to join me? Just absolutely amazing. Also, you get badges. So there are founder member badges, which a lot of people that signed up first off should be receiving once their new member badge expires, which is after 2 weeks. So if you were one of the first people to sign up, which we don't actually know a number because we're on 3,500 members of the group now, so it's hard to know exactly how many people are founder members. But after your new member badge expires after 2 weeks, you will know then if you're going to be a founder member. There's also conversation starters. There is a rising star badge if you're really starting to get some conversation going, and that goes with the conversation starter as well. If you're actively posting on that group and, you know, interacting, starting really cool conversations, you will get certain badges and rewards, I suppose.
It's class. And also, for those people listening that, you know, might not use Facebook, we've also opened up an email address as well, which is literally dead simple. It's podcast@rickshields.com. If you want to send us any questions, you want a shout out, anything like that, feel free to send us an email. We've actually had a couple of emails in already. Let's have a quick look at the emails. So we had Danny Lilly was asking for a shout out. He's a big fan of the podcast, listens to everything.
Yeah, Danny. Hey, Danny, thanks for coming to the range night as well. Danny is a absolute hardcore regular at Trafford Golf Centre. I think he's got his own bay, his own station. He'll rent it out for hours on end, trying to get nearest pin or hole in one on Top Tracer. So he's a good lad, Danny. I like him a lot.
Yeah, that's class.
And on that topic, so that's the sponsor from the podcast, everybody. Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Facebook group.
Yeah, just type in Rick Shields Golf Show podcast on your search bar and press search. It should come up instantly. If not, click the groups bit below and you'll find it in there.
I'm absolutely loving it. For example, one post yesterday from Dillian Lawrence. Be honest, how many mulligans does everyone play with?
Four.
What's weird, like, in the UK, we don't really play mulligans, do we? I feel like it's much more of a US thing.
I think as well with mulligans, it depends how old you are when you started playing the game. If you've grown up playing golf, it almost feels like really, really bad, and you feel like you're going to take a mulligan, all of a sudden, like, something's going to happen. It's like, oh no, you can't do that. If you start a bit later in life, just, yeah, play mulligan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Looking so what?
Yeah. I like the term breakfast ball. You know,
no, I've never heard that one.
Breakfast ball is great, where literally you might have you and your buddies go out and play the first shot, and basically you're allowed a retake on the first tee and call it a breakfast ball.
That's class.
So if you hit a bad first tee shot, you go, right, I'm breakfast ball, and just hit a retake.
I actually saw one thing on the group, and I can't find it now or remember the guy's name, so I do apologise, but he said something along the lines of reverse mulligan. So I'm guessing that means if I'm playing against you and you hit a good shot, I can say, let's say I get 3 reverse mulligans, I say, right, you've got to do that again. So your shot that went stiff, you've got to hit again.
I like that.
That's class.
There's one, and I've played a golf course. We played it last year. It's called, what's it called?
Centurion, is it? No? The one in London?
Yeah. Is it that one? Seve Design.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, Centurion. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's another course. God, what's it called? That one that Seve designed. It's definitely not Centurion now. Anyway,
The Shire.
On that golf course, there's actually overhanging power lines. And if you hit one of those power lines, doesn't matter if it's a great shot or a terrible shot. If you might have hit flushed an absolute perfect three wood. It's heading towards the green, and your ball hits one of those power lines. You actually have to retake your shot again, which must be one of the most frustrating things in the world to do. When I played there a couple of years ago, I fatted an iron shot. Luckily, it hit the power line. I got to retake it, hit my second shot, and put it really close. So it was a benefit for me. But yeah, Facebook page, we're absolutely loving it. And like I said, the podcast email address, it's all good. I like building this community because I think someone mentioned it in the Facebook group is that, you know, we're all fans of golf. We're all fans of golf media. Some people said they're all fans of Rick Shields, which is lovely. What you know, why don't we set something up as more of a community? I think that's a really something strong we're really going to work through the winter and certainly moving into next year.
Irons.
Okay. Is it your turn to go first or mine?
It's whoever's, but we're going to have the same.
I don't know if we are. We're going to have the same?
Yeah.
No way.
Okay.
Am I going first?
Yeah.
Right, should we do after three then? Irons, ready?
I'll just say, go on then.
Are you saying brand?
I'm going to say model, name or number or whatever.
I honestly don't think we've got
okay,
the same.
Okay, maybe not.
You ready? One, two, three.
P790.
0 3 double ones.
Wow. You've beat me there. I know why you've done that.
So, just to confirm that, I've gone for PXG 03 double one irons.
Yeah.
And the reason being, it was that set that started off all of the other hollow-headed forged irons, either filled or non-filled. The PXGs, love them or hate them.
Yeah.
They great were first.
That. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I've gone with the P790s on the back of. It's one of the rare golf clubs that comes out that could be used by a scratch golfer or a 20 handicapper or whatever handicapper. It's hard for brands to do that. So that's why I was going to go with TaylorMade, and then you've gone and beat me to it by the PXGs that essentially inspired the TaylorMades.
Yeah, and if you remember that massive lawsuit that came from the back of it as well, because PXG, like I say, came out with a forged-headed, hollow-head design filled with a squishy foam mattress, basically, which was to help dampening the sound and the feel and everything else. Without question, you know, the outrageously expensive, and that's why a lot of other brands made them at a slightly different price point, but not much cheaper, but just a little bit cheaper. But really, for me, it was the PXG 03 double ones that kicked it all off.
Yeah.
And now you've got sets from TaylorMade, Ping, Cobra, Mizuno.
Titleist or something?
Titleist. They're all making at least forged, hollow-headed design. Whether filled or not filled, this is kind of where it stemmed from.
I can't argue with you.
03 PXG. I didn't think we'd put PXG irons in there, but they've definitely changed the game there.
Well, that's the good thing with this, because we're saying about a club or a brand that kind of changed the game, it doesn't necessarily mean that people have to go out and buy the PXGs, obviously, but other brands have since been influenced or copied
and stolen.
And that's it. And there's more affordable brands. I think, is it Lynx that also do a set of hollow head irons that might even be obviously cheaper again? So, you know, sometimes, and we see it in other industries as well, in car industries or phone industries, you know, one brand that costs a lot of money to purchase might spend millions or whatever, billions on R&D, make something, and then other brands copy that and it makes it more affordable for the consumer. So fair play to PXG for doing that.
Okay. Moving into the big hitting clubs. Now, are we doing hybrid as well?
I've not got anything. I really, really, really struggled.
The only thing I actually jotted down, I actually never did enough research to find out which one this was, but I said, what was the first adjustable hybrid? Because that definitely came out in the last decade.
That's a good point.
I feel like it was Callaway, but it could have also been TaylorMade, but it could have also been Titleist or Ping. You know, I don't think it was Ping.
Yeah,
actually.
I think... Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, it wasn't Ping. I'm not sure who it was, but I think that's a good shout in terms of adjustable hybrids, because although it's not something that can... The golfer's not going to go out and change every week for gapping and for getting
so
fitted.
Key.
It makes a big difference. That's a good point, but I don't know who that was.
Because I also I feel like, you know, an adjustable hybrid... I'm not the biggest hybrid fan in the world.
No.
Just for my own personal golf, but I do think they're very beneficial for a lot of golfers out there. For me, a adjustable hybrid, i.e. you can change a loft on it, gives you so much flexibility. Let's say it's a really, really windy day and you want to be able to knock the ball down. You crank it down by 1.5 degrees. It might make a little difference. And then suddenly it's a roasting hot day and you need more height. You need the ball to land on the green and stop. You know, loft it up a couple of degrees before you round. It's got some benefit. I'll have to think. I definitely remember reviewing it and saying this is the first ever adjustable hybrid. I just can't remember who the hell it was. Anyway, I'll have a think.
Whichever brand you were that spent hours upon hours of R&D and innovation to make that club, we can't remember who you were, but thanks for doing it.
Sorry. Sorry. I bet somebody listening now will be screaming at the phone or the radio when they're listening in the car, listening in the car on the podcast and going, Rick, it was the bloody whatever, Callaway something or other. Okay, Fairway Wood.
Now, I do, again, think we might have the same club here, but I don't know.
Well, I think we have. I was just conscious it was getting one brand heavy. So I think you've picked the RBZ.
I have.
The TaylorMade RBZ, which I don't disagree with. The RBZ came out and really did change the game in the fact that you can get a distance fairway wood, which this came all this hoo-ha about 17 yards longer. The first time where a slot was actually put in behind the face to increase ball speed, etc., etc.
I think just a note on that, what TaylorMade did so well with that club is get people thinking probably more about your three wood. Actually, though, I think it's done some damage to the brand because the whole 17 yards claim is now what TaylorMade are known for. Every time they bring a new driver out, we see comments, people saying, oh, how many yards long is this one claiming to be? And to be fair to TaylorMade, they don't have those outlandish claims as much anymore, but that 17 yards story and all the points of sale that they had in retail stores that claim 17 yards, I think that's done them some damage long term.
I agree. I'm going to throw a real curveball in there though. Let me just do one little tiny bit of research. No, I'm wrong. There might be some truth in it. I've actually put down just one word here for three woods and fairway woods.
Okay.
Do you know what it could be?
The only other option I was going to do was go with the Callaway Octane that Henrik Stenson used because it was just so iconic, but no.
I've gone with one brand that I honestly think changed the shape of fairway woods. And I don't mean the shape as in design shape, as in the landscape of fairway woods.
I'm intrigued.
Adams.
Yeah.
Adams Woods. Mm. So Adams, and I also think it leads on to the club that we've just talked about as well. Adams was bought by TaylorMade in 2013 or something, maybe even before that. And they basically took all the great ideas from Adams Fairway Woods, put them into TaylorMade Woods, and then binned off Adams. You don't see Adams at all anymore.
No, and I think, was it the R11 hybrid was literally an Adams, and it was class.
Yeah, R11. I used to use a fairway wood called the Tight Lies, which was about 2014, 2015, when TaylorMade still owned Adams, but it hadn't kind of basically turned it into bankruptcy. Well, not bankruptcy, just, I don't recall it.
They basically bought them for the patents, I think, didn't they?
So I feel like Adams really did change the shape, but there's no real one club, let's say. So I'm happy to go TaylorMade RBZ.
So before we get to driver, let's run through the bag. We've gone 80-333.
Yeah.
Then we've gone for Spider.
Yeah, TaylorMade Spider Putter.
Then
Callaway PM Grind.
Yeah, PM Grind.
PXG 03 11 irons.
And then we've gone with the RBZ.
RBZ Fairway Wood. At the moment,
that's quite a split, is it?
TaylorMade are doing pretty good. TaylorMade have got the Spider, the Putter, the 3-wood, Tricks and Ball, Callaway Wedge, PXG. So now down to the driver.
I think, again, I know what you will have gone for. I don't know if you have because you said you want to kind of mix it between the brands a little bit. I think I know, and I don't think you'll have any idea what I've gone for. Who's going first?
I won't know what you've gone for.
I know.
That intrigues me. I had a number of options for driver.
Okay.
But I honestly don't believe there's been one driver that in the last decade has made us think differently about driver ball performance, i.e. optimizing spin and launch.
Yeah.
And they, as much as this brand gets absolutely slated for bringing out products after products after product, which without question they did in the past, this particular driver, which was actually designed by accident,
I know what you're going for,
changed the game. But even though it was one of the hardest clubs ever to hit, I know it sounds like a ridiculous thing, it was one of the longest woods ever to hit, which was the
SLDR.
Yeah, the slider SLDR, TaylorMade SLDR, with the forward weight forward center of gravity, this idea that loft up became a thing where everyone started to use more loft than drive.
Everybody needed a 14-degree driver, didn't they?
Well, they actually brought 16-degree SLDR out, which I thought was class, a really good driver, certainly for forgiveness and ease of hitting. It was a monster club when you got it right, when you hit the center. Mm. And many, many tour players won with it because guess what? They hit the center. Where it started to become harder work was when that very popular tour driver started to filter into the hands of an 18 handicapper who couldn't hit the middle, and then it flopped completely.
And that was very much in the era where retailers were getting their hands on launch monitors.
Correct.
So, because I worked at American Golf, which is a huge retailer in the UK and I think Europe, to be fair. This was many years ago. Was it 2013, 14 it launched? No, it must have been earlier than that because I left there in 13. 12 or 13, I think the slider launched. But, you know, consumers would go in, golfers would go in with their whatever driver, and let's say they're averaging 230 yards with it. They'd pick up at SLDR, and suddenly it's going 245, 250. Yeah, they might hit one that's sliced out of bounds, but on the driving range, that shot just gets deleted off the launch monitor and forgotten about, and everything's rosy. Whereas, obviously, as we know, in real golf, you get on the golf course on the fourth hole, and you hit one out of bounds, your scorecard starts to look a bit worse for wear. So it was very, very clever, the whole era. It was a perfect timing. And like you said, it massively changed the way we look at drivers. And one thing I remember, and I feel like this was a marketing campaign, and if it's not, I might sound a bit weird saying this, but I remember it from somewhere, or it was definitely an analogy that maybe a TaylorMade rep told me at the time, but it was the hose pipe. So if you had a hose pipe on full power and aimed it low, then obviously the water's going to hit the ground. If you aimed it right up at the sky, it was going to shoot up and shoot down. If you find that kind of happy medium, it goes...
Optimised.
Exactly.
Optimised.
Your hose pipe skills. Yes.
Launch conditions.
Exactly. And that was then made sense with golf. If you hit a driver into the floor, essentially, it's going to go nowhere. If you sky it, it's not going to go very far. If you can find that middle ground with the right launch, the right spin, it's going to go far. So, yeah.
It was very educational, that driver.
The only thing I would say, I'm not disputing the fact of... you know, what we're saying about how it changed the game. But in terms of a product itself, I don't think you'd find many people with an SLDR in the bag anymore.
The only person, a lad that I know who plays at Royal Liverpool, Martin Thomas, who played at Wentworth at the BMW PGA.
Oh, sorry, with Beef, yeah.
Left-hander. Now, maybe because he's left-hander, he doesn't get access to... But he's recently messaged me saying...
Was he swap now?
He wants to swap, but he wants to take the same shaft with him. But he also wants the option of putting a new shaft in his SLDR.
Ah, okay.
So he found it very difficult to move out of an SLDR, even though it's been out, you know, 5 or 6 years, and he's a +2 handicap or whatever.
Yeah, it's a class driver.
What's your choice?
So I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. In one way, it might sound a bit underwhelming, but it's not. It's a driver I've used, not anymore, obviously, but for a long time. It launched in 2011. It was, as far as I'm aware, and again, I'm open to be kind of proved wrong. From what I remember, it was one of the first drivers that you could independently change loft and face angle. So up until this point, every driver where you could change the loft, it would have an impact on face angle. So typically, if you lofted up a driver, the club would then sit more closed. And if you would take loft off the driver, it would sit more open. So it wasn't independent. This driver, it was.
Which, by the way, that is true what Guy's saying, even though it doesn't sound like
it sounds the opposite way, doesn't it?
But just if anyone's listening going, he's got that wrong, that was right. If you loft it up, it closes. If you loft it down, it opens,
which typically would suit most people, because typically someone that wants more loft might often be a slicer and vice versa. But it wasn't independent. This driver was an iconic head shape. It was classic, and it stayed in the bag of tour pros for years. Long story short, I'm gonna go Titleist 910, D2 or D3, you can choose. Now, I know it does feel a bit underwhelming, but it came out, even though it's 910, it actually launched in 2011. I think I remember hearing rumours that it was going to be called 911, but Titleist didn't want to because of 911 or whatever, which makes sense. It's just class. It was simple. It went a long way. I used it for years. I said it was adjustable. It was the one that had, as they still do to this day, which, what are we in now? 2019, are we? And it's still got the same adjustment. It's the ABCD1234 on a Titleist. So if you think about a product, if you think about any technology, whatever industry that comes out in 2011 and is still implemented in products in 2019, exactly the same, that is impressive. So although the driver itself might not seem that like memorable to some people, that technology in the neck, is it Titleist SureFit, is it called? That that's impressive. You look underwhelmed, and
I'm just trying to get my head around. Can that qualify? Is that a quantifiable enough of a difference to be the best driver of the last decade?
Yeah,
that's my only challenge. And I'm not saying the SLDR is, because again, as many, this has been the challenge with drivers. I think drivers have progressed 100%. Not 100%. It's a big shout. I think drivers definitely have improved since 2010 to 2019 without question, but they've been very gradual with the changes. Nobody bar possibly an argument sake, the SLDR has really added on so much distance, but distance isn't everything with a driver.
No,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we're going to come with a conclusion there.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's, in terms of what's changed the game and other brands more, I think TaylorMade and the SLDR wins. But as I said, what really stands out for me with the 910 is a product that launched, I think it was November 2011. And now it's obviously, it's actually December, which is essentially November 2019. So 8 years later. And it's still the exact same technology. I think that's impressive. I'm happy to give you the TaylorMade. I'm happy to give you that one.
I'm just thinking there's got to be more.
It's like hard though.
I'm feeling like M2, original M2.
I thought that first I had you down as that. I think yesterday, and I thought actually you'll go slider.
But that's just a driver that I like.
Yeah.
It's not a driver that I think changed the game that more. I think it had the most the best elements
to solid.
It, and the best looking driver and the best performance, but it wasn't like shockwaves through the world when that came out.
I think annoyingly, if we'd have said let's go, we wouldn't do this, it wouldn't make any sense. If we went from like 04 05, I think there's been a lot of products in that from 2005 to 2010 that massively changed the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm thinking R7 quad. There was Ping G2 was massive.
Yeah, huge, because of the price
it
point.
It was affordable, it was class. Obviously, as we said before, two ball putter. I think the mid to early 2000s is when I think Vokies really came into
massively.
The game. When I started playing golf, everything was Cleveland, and Vokie was like, yeah, I'd say this is hopefully quite a good analogy. I think if we went back to when Vokie came really big, it was almost like Cleveland were Pro V1, if this makes sense, and Vokie was TP5. It was like the up and coming rival. Whereas now it's like everything's Vokey.
Yeah, that's very true.
Even like irons-wise, you know, the big Bertha era and metals and irons, it feels like, I don't know if it's because I'm looking back at it with all
nostalgia.
You know, yeah, nostalgia. But it feels like the kind of early to mid-2000s, there was so much more innovative products coming out. Whereas now it feels a bit more...
I feel like we're always getting closer to this, you know, not end goal,
the wall.
That's a scary thought, but you know, getting closer to optimized performance, you know, technology's getting better. Buddy Calloway investing millions on a supercomputer and things like that. Like, we are getting closer now to, you know, figuring out the perfect answer.
Another driver I thought of as well, and it's a shame that it's so new, because if it was a 2 or 3 years older, I would have called it, was the F9, Cobra F9.
Yeah,
I think when we look at it now, I know it only came at the start of 2019, so it's a bit much to call it the driver of the decade, but it's priced much more reasonably than its competitors. It's a great performing driver. It utilizes technology with the Arcos.
As an overall product.
Package, yeah, the product, it's class. The only thing you could arguably say, other than price, there's not really one standout feature as such, really.
Just Arcos, really.
Yeah,
but you can plug in an Arcos.
And that's coming to other brands, I believe. As well,
maybe the milled face.
Yeah, I mean, that feels still quite in its infancy, so I don't know how, like, I know they've got it in the driver, obviously the new SZ or SZ, whether that's something that'll stay around for 10 years, and like we'll look back at in 10 years as we are doing with the adjustable neck of the Titleist, and we'll go, wow, Cobra brought this technology out in 2019, now it's 2029, they're still doing it. But yeah, I couldn't quite give it to Cobra, so it's a tough one. Driver, there's loads to choose from, but nothing, I mean, do you go down the route of Epic with Jailbreak?
Or you could go Epic Flash with Artificial Intelligent Face. You could go TaylorMade with Twist Face, which
it just
I don't think that's changed the game that much.
It just feels a bit like a lot of these technologies sound great, but do they actually make a difference? Whereas when we go back to like R7 Quad, it was literally four weights in a golf club you could change. Or like the first adjustable drivers, you could actually change. It was like, wow, this is different. Yeah, it's a bit of an anticlimax with driver because we can't quite choose on that one. Let's go slider. I'll give it you.
SLDR, let's put that in there. And I think what we'll do as well, we'll use the utilize the Facebook group as well and ask you guys on there as well what you guys think.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. What else was there? Just a quick one. We filmed with Eddie Hall last week, which was cool. That video is going to be coming out soon. Eddie Hall won the World's Strongest Man in 2017. He is absolutely, his nickname is The Beast. We did a video to see how fast he could swing a golf club. We'd never played golf before, and we give him a challenge to see how fast he could swing. It's that video coming out soon. And also, we filmed Range Night, which you might have heard about in the last podcast. We filmed last Thursday. It was awesome. You know, the night, I think, went really well. Guy, would you say?
It was class. I think what I liked about it, obviously, I was there. I didn't really hit any balls, but I was there. What was so cool was people just... There was no... What's the track? It did what it said in the tin, if that makes sense. People came to hit golf balls, hang around, have a bit of a laugh, have fun.
Have some challenges.
And that's what it was. It was... What I thought was so cool is people were getting stuck in. I think it was four people per bay, and obviously on top tracer bays, you hit a few shots, then have a minute, maybe have a drink, hit some more. And obviously people were interacting with people that didn't know. Some people came together as a foursome or whatever. But at the start, you were saying to people, right, yeah, if you go and find a bay and jump in and get... And everyone was like, yeah, let's do it. Everyone was acting like grown-ups, even though some of them were children, and getting in the bays and getting stuck in. And what I always think is crazy with golf is that you could put... You know, I'm a relatively confident person, but I don't really speak to many strangers. But if you put me on a golf course in Japan, Australia, anywhere, with three random people, it's like, it sounds a bit deep and a bit corny, but like golf brings you together. Like you have this like weird like sense that you just know what to do and what to speak about, and it just kind of flows. And that definitely shone on the range night.
Yeah, there's a common ground. I you know what? There's a couple of things as well that I realised. First off, we raised £330 for charity for Prostate Cancer UK, which is class. Thanks so much for Trafford Golf Centre for hosting it and putting on such a great deal.
They were class, yeah.
Really helped out. Pete Styles there was class. Obviously, I used to work at Trafford, and so it's a class range anyway. Top tracing and stuff like that, so that was good. Like I say, I'm hoping to potentially do another one down the line. They are going to be very much off the cuff, so just make sure that you are following me on Facebook mainly. Really pushing Facebook, aren't we? YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, so Twitter, and any other platform. Follow me at Rick Shields PGA. So when basically what happened is I sent a post out saying I'm going to plan this range night. This was last Monday. It's happening on Thursday, and we filled 50 spots in 18 minutes.
Wow.
So be on it. Be on it, because I don't want anyone to miss out on the next ones. And maybe we can open it up. It felt way busier than 50, though.
There was more than 50.
Well, we counted 45 that had paid. But I think a lot of people brought friends and family with them to spectate and mess about, or maybe people snuck in.
It was definitely busier than that. It was really good. And like I said, it was just good to see people getting on and just hitting balls. And like we see a lot of these names on Facebook or views on a video or whatever, but to actually see people coming together and chatting, it was class. It was really good.
Real life people.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We are going to be back next week with another podcast, another topic we're going to be covering. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss out. Also, guys, it's really valuable with the podcast if you tell a friend, share it around. We are fast approaching fantastic numbers on the viewing figures for podcasts, and we want to keep growing that. So if you can tell a friend, a family, listen together, that'd be great. Listen on separate devices, that'd be even better. Thanks so much for listening, guys. That's it for me and Guy, and we shall see you next week.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.